I tell you, truly believe that song service was worship. I think God was being praised there. And He is a God worthy of our praise. He is a God worthy of our praise. I'm thankful to Him for a beautiful day like today, where He brings us together to worship Him. And we look outside and we feel the beauty that's out there. You know there's a God. And you know that He is a good, good Father. I appreciate the song that we started off this morning because that is our topic. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103. God is worthy to be blessed. You know, God's a magnificent, awesome God. Back when I preached this sermon at Heritage, I had Luke in the car with me. We're on our way to church. And we started trying to describe how big God was. You know what? We couldn't do it. Because you can't describe just how big God is. But then if you think about how big God is, as much as you can try to see it in your mind, you think that He says He holds all things in the palm of His hand. Well, you have this magnificent universe that you can't measure from this end to that end. It's unfathomable how big our universe is, but God holds that metaphorically in the palm of His hand because He's bigger than that is. But then you think about that vast, huge universe, galaxy after galaxy after galaxy, filled with planet after planet after planet and star after star. And there's this one galaxy. And it has this one particular star called the sun. And around that sun are all these planets, but there's one planet around that sun, that is in that galaxy, that is in that universe, and that one planet He set His love upon. Because on that planet He created good things. And out of all that goodness that God created on that one planet, around that one sun, and that one galaxy, and that vast universe, He created you. You, and He placed His love on you. No other planet and no other galaxy is there something like you. Oh, God is worthy to be blessed. He is worthy to be worshipped because He's a good, good God. Now, we worshiped here this morning. We worship when we come to church. We bless the Lord. But do you worship at home? Do you worship in the car? Do you worship alone? Oh, we need to worship God every chance that we have. You know, there's sometimes we come to church and we don't feel like worshiping, do we? We've had those days. We're going through the motions, just singing in the words. I tell you, He is worthy of our full worship. When you're at church, when you're at home, when you're alone, He is worthy of your full worship. Why? Because God is merciful. God is righteous and God is just. As we saw last night, God has a plan that is worthy of praise. God is just because He will not allow sin in His presence. So He is worthy of praise. But God is righteous and He came with a plan of righteousness for you. He is worthy of praise. Bless His name. Who is God on a personal level to you? Is He merciful to you? Do you feel His righteousness upon you? Do you see His justness for you personally? And then who is God on a corporate level, meaning His universal church, all of His people? Do you see how He is merciful to you in the church? How He is righteous to you as a church? How He is just to all of His people? God is worthy of all our praise. And this is what this psalm is really divided into three sections. Verses 1 through 5 is God is worthy of your individual praise. You personally need to worship God. Verses 6 through 18, I believe, is more of a corporate praise for what God has done for all of His people. He is worthy to be praised. And then verses 19 through 22, the governments of earth, the principalities of earth, the angels and the heavens, should be worshiping and blessing this great God. So on a personal level, on the corporate church level, and on all of creation level, God is worthy of our praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. How much do we praise God? Do you praise Him publicly? Are you bold with your praise and worship of God? Not as bold as we should be, I must admit, for myself. Charles Spurgeon says a very convicting thing on this topic. He says, "The ungodly are not so half restrained in their blasphemy as we are in our praise." Oh, that's sobering. That's serious. They are more than willing to blaspheme the name of God. How willing are we to defend His name through that blasphemy? How willing are you to counteract the blaspheme and outpraise the blaspheme of God? Oh, we waller in our fear of flesh sometimes. God forgive us. All too often we turn a blind eye. We keep our mouth shut. We just try to make it through the day. Oh, God is worthy of our praise in every situation. When you hear the blaspheme of His great name, it must burn inside of you to bless His name. Bless the name of the Lord. How can we not praise for all the blessings that He's given us? We should be in awe of who God is, in complete awe that He sees me, that He even deigns to look upon me, that my prayers reach His holy ears. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, that You would hear my prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that You would look down upon this sinful creature and You would see me with love. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that Jesus Christ in His righteous blood has covered me. That God sees Titus by name. He knows the hairs of my head. And He loves me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. God is so worthy of all of our praise. He hears your prayer. He hears your praise, and He is pleased with it. God loves to be praised because only He is worthy of such praise. Oh, when we hear the praise of ourselves, we should be a bit humbled. We should turn from it because we are not worthy of praise at all. But God is worthy of that praise, and God desires that praise. God requires that praise because God alone deserves that praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Let's look at personal praise. We will probably only get through the first 5 verses this morning. But don't worry, this afternoon will be much shorter with those 18 verses, I promise. So, but let's look at verse number 1, just start there. Now, I want to say this. I do believe that David was older when he wrote this psalm. And I'll tell you why as we get through some of these verses, why I think that David was older and much wiser when he wrote this psalm. But first, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. The first thing you need to notice that David is doing here is he is praising God. God is the full recipient of all of David's praise. Now, David was a mighty warrior. He was a good king. Oh, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000s. You know, David liked that at one point. He didn't mind getting a little bit of praise. That's our flesh. We enjoy it. But David here is focusing all of his praise on God and God alone. He's not blessing his good deeds as a king, the way that he handled the kingdom. David is blessing God and God alone. God is the sole recipient to be blessed and spoken well of, because He is the fountain of all that is good. God is the source of all that is good. And God is the sustainer of all that is good. Oh, David could be a good king, but then David would fall. David could not sustain the goodness in his kingdom, especially when he turned his eyes from his great God. But when David focused his eyes upon God, he saw God for who he truly was, his keeper, his sustainer, his comfort. God is the full recipient of all of David's praise. But something else you see in this one verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. It is to the name of God that David focuses his praise. He's not saying praise to a generic God. He is saying praise to a personal God, to Him who has a name, to the great Jehovah God. Jehovah, many names. And you know, in your time of those needs, pray to the specific name of God. I need peace. Oh, Jehovah Shiloh, come to me. Jehovah Jireh, You are my sustainer. Pray to the names of God, because He is not an aloof, austere, impersonal God. He is a personal God who knows you by name. And He is worthy to be praised by name. All of David's praise is to the name of God. Because Psalm 119 verse 9 says, Holy and reverend is His name. God is just more than a God. He is a personal God. He has a name because He isn't a personal God to you. And His name is holy. His name is reverend. Be careful with your mouth. Do we dare to curse God with the same mouth that we would dare to praise Him with? Too often we catch ourselves doing that, don't we? A slip of the tongue. Old habits, as we said last night. God is worthy of praise from this mouth. How dare we blaspheme the name of God? How dare we take the name of God slightly? Oh, His name is serious. Because His work is serious. His work is holy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He gives us good things to remember Him from, doesn't He? And when we are blessing His name, we remember all the goodness of God that His name has brought upon us. He has brought us peace. He has been our sustainer. He has been our hope. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. When you pray to that name of God, remember what that name means. It is not just God. It is a personal God to you and to I. But what David is doing here in this psalm is he is not just blessing God with his mouth. As I said earlier, we've showed up to church and we've sung with our mouth. Now I tell you, I just prayed with my mouth and my heart was nowhere near that prayer. Simply because I knew I was supposed to pray. You know, take my kids to bed. I'm frustrated. I had a long day at work. I want to go sit down. So, oh, dear Heavenly Father, bless you, sleep good. How dare I do that with my kids? What a perfect opportunity to show them the blessing and goodness of God as our sustainer through the day. Lord, thank You for Your blessings You gave us today. Lord, we pray You keep us through the night because You are the sustainer. You are the giver and the taker of our lives. Lord, we can show our children so much goodness through the simplicity of a nighttime prayer. Or the simplicity of when we go to pray over our food. It's not just a habit to get through so we can eat. Let's pray so we can eat. Because we said that one in the home. Hurry up, let's pray so we can eat. No, let's pray and thank God that He's given me something to eat. He's my provider. He has blessed me with a job. He's blessed me to feed my family. He's blessed us with a home. Thank You, Lord. Bless His name for all that He gives you. And when you remember those blessings and look upon them, you can't help but bless the name of the Lord. But let's look at verses 1 and 2. It's more than just that mouth praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. This is a soul worship to God. This psalm is a devotional praise to God. David is praising with his whole man. His mouth, his heart, his mind, his soul, every fiber of his being. He is saying, I bless You with all that I am, Lord. I don't want to just praise You with my mouth. I want to praise You with me. With all that I am, I want to praise You. Our soul is our breathing substance or being, the inner being of man. And it is to be fully employed in the praising of God. Not just a mouth worship. Not just a head knowledge of God either. Heart worship of who God is. Our soul is the seat of our emotions. It's our passions. It's what You desire the most. Oh, are you praising God with what you desire the most? Are you blessing Him with all that you are? Or are you keeping some reserved for your fleshly desires? Are we keeping our energy and our praise and our mind set aside? I'll praise God a bit, especially on Sunday. But Monday night football's coming and I'm going to get excited about that a little more than church. Whatever your vice may be, and football's not a vice, but you can make it be a vice. Let me rephrase that. But are you praising God with all of your being, with your desires, with who you are as a person? Is it fully employed in the blessing of God? Oh, it's so much more than just our mouth. It's our whole man. It's to be about the business of blessing our great God, because He is worthy of our whole man. Because He has purchased your whole man. Because He has redeemed your whole man. Because He has loved your whole man. So praise God with your whole man. David had learned here to praise God with his entire soul. You know, our religious performances mean nothing to God if your heart is not praising God. If your heart is not employed in the blessing of God, it means nothing to Him when you come in with just a fake mouth worship. Oh, He deserves so much more than that. He deserves all of our praise. All that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. My energy, my emotions, my loves, my desires, bless You, Lord. This is a personal, personal praise of David. A personal praise between him and God. It is his true heart work in this psalm. All that is within him, his inward man, is fully focused on blessing the Lord. When we show up cold to church, which happens. You know, I've showed up cold to the pulpit before. It happens to all of us. Cry out to God. Lord, I want to desire You more. Lord, I have grown cold. Admit it. Admit when you've grown cold. Don't try to fake it. No, I'm okay with God. He's okay with me. No. If your whole heart is not praising God, then you are not okay with God. And He wants your whole man to praise Him. He desires your whole man to praise Him. You cry out to the Lord. Lord, cause me to want You. Lord, cause me to worship You. Lord, cause me to hunger for You like nothing else. Cry out to God, because we all grow cold. David grew cold so many times. And he would fade away and he would have to come crawling back to that throne and say, Lord, redeem my spirit. I want to love You more. It happens to all of us. Cry out to Him. Plead for Him. And you know what He will do when you come with your heart crawling back to God. When you've gotten up from your puddle of tears, as David did when he wrote Psalm 51. You climb up from your puddle of tears. God will comfort you. God will sustain you. God will lift you up. God will brush you off. And God will put you back on your feet on His path. Because He is a good, good Father. Oh, bless the Lord! Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. David had grown sleepy. We grow sleepy. Wake yourself up by reaching out to the hand of God, because He will not fail you. Oh, Titus can't encourage you enough. I can't lift your spirit the way that God can lift your spirit. I can give you Scripture. I can give you the Word of God, but you must go back to God Himself. You must cry out to God Himself and say, Lord, restore me back to where I once was. That's what I want with you, Lord. I want to love you with my whole man. And then when you get like that, like David did, you can't help but say, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless His name. And you know what? David knew he needed to be reminded of this himself. The great psalmist himself knew he needed to remind himself to go back to God and bless the Lord and remind himself of what God has done for him. This is David, the apple of God's eye, and he needed to be reminded that he was loved of God. We all need that. Go back to the Lord. You know what David didn't do in his old age? He didn't focus on his frailty. He didn't dwell on his past sins. He dwelt on his future hope in the Lord. Brother Bobby's prayer today was beautiful. He said he was in his last days. But you know what Brother Bobby right now is doing? He is looking forward to that hope to come. He's looking forward to it as we all should. His focus was on the Lord. His focus no more was, it wasn't on his lust. David had that problem, we all know. In his old age, they tried to comfort him that way. And he said, no, I just want the Lord. David wasn't focused on his crown. He was at one point in his life. He wasn't focused on his crown. He wasn't focused on his power. David was focused on walking with the Lord. And when he focused like that, all he could say is, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now how? How is David able to truly bless the Lord? How does he do this? Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. God is a good, good Father. David is stirring himself up to praise by remembering the past mercies of God. Forget not all His benefits. David is saying, I need to remind myself what God has done for me. I need to remind myself of the goodness of who God is for me. Now, as we're going to get into some of these verses, I want to tell you, some of them seem like earthly benefits. But I think they're much deeper than that in this psalm. And I'll tell you why when we get to those. But this is a very spiritual psalm that David is going to. David is stirring himself up to praise. He's stirring his soul to bring to mind, bring to the forefront of his mind, the goodness of God to himself. Have you done that lately? Have you thought, what has God done for me? How has He blessed me? On a personal level. Will you go back to what we preached about last night? He died for you. Start there. If you can't think of anything else, start with His crucifixion. He did that for you on a personal level. He died for you each individually. Bless His holy name. Then we are buried with Him in that. You personally. You personally are resurrected with Him and sin is dead to you personally through the power of God. Bless His name. What has He done for me? He has saved me from myself. Bless His holy name. Remind yourself of who God is. Remind yourself of how great God is for you on a personal level. David is saying here, come my soul, consider what God has done for you. He's telling his whole man, his inward man, his desires, his seat of emotions, consider what God has done for you. Are you depressed? Have you faced depression? Oh, my soul, consider what God has done for you. Are you tired? Are you sick? Oh, my soul, consider what God has done for you. Make it personal because it is personal. He is a personal, loving God who in this vast universe still sees each of His people individually. You are not a blurry crowd of a mass of people to the great God of eyes of God. He sees you. He sees your fears. He sees your worries. He knows your depressions. He feels your pains. He feels the weight of your sin, and He has borne it all on the cross. Go to that cross of Jesus Christ on a personal level for you and claim hold to the victories that He gave you through that cross, and bless the Lord. How can we not bless Him when we think on that personal level, what did He do for me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Call His benefits into recollection. Name them one by one. What's this, that song? Count His many blessings. Name them one by one. And you will see what the Lord has done. You will see it. Make it a priority. What He has done for you in your mind. Keep it at the forefront of your mind. Yes, we get worried about the world. I have to go to work. I have a job. I have to concentrate there. I have to think about it. I have to come home, change diapers as much as I can, help my wife, probably not as much as I should. But we all have these worries of the flesh that we have to take care of. But are we so focused on those that we put the blessings of God in the back of our mind and what I need to do tomorrow in the front? Brothers and sisters, I can't get through tomorrow unless I put God in the front of my mind. Because tomorrow weighs heavy. I know there's temptations there. I know there's ugliness in this world that you saw here in Collierville just days ago. You must call forth the blessings of God to the forefront of your mind. Focus on, dwell on the blessings of what God has done for you. Make it a priority. We have to make it a grateful remembrance of His mercies that we received from Him to me. Not just to the world, not just to His people, but to me. Make it a personal worship. You know what He did most of all? He saved me from destruction. Yes, He blesses me in this life. I have a roof over my head and we have food on our table and I'm thankful for that. But that means nothing if my eternal state is destruction. He has saved me from my sins, from my fleshly desires, and He has given me a new heart and a new life and a new walk. And I know that that dead man we talked about last night strapped to our back will one day go away. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We need to give thanks for each of those. You know, we tend to forget them if we don't. Matthew Henry says, O my soul, to thy shame be it spoken. Thou hast forgotten many of His benefits, but surely wilt thou not forget them all, for thou shouldst not have forgotten any of His benefits. Every blessing of God is worthy of remembrance, and one blessing of God is enough to praise Him forever. One blessing is enough to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. For one blessing from God. Bless His holy name. Be fully employed in that blessing of God, and be fully employed in remembering and bringing them back to your mind. You know, if you need to, you pray the benefits of God back to Him. Lord, thank You for saving me from destruction. Lord, thank You for saving me from that wreck I was almost in. Lord, thank You for my wife. That's the blessing. Lord, thank You for my church. Collierville, thank Lord for your pastors. They're a blessing from God to you. That is a blessing. Pray those blessings back to God. And if you can't think of what to pray, I want you to open up Psalm 103 and I want you to pray that psalm back to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That is a prayer in itself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Pray it out loud to God because He is worthy of all your praise.
Verse 3 through 5 is where we really see some more of those personal benefits that He has blessed us with. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You could stop right there and end this sermon. That is enough to bless God for eternity for. That one phrase, you forgave my iniquities. Bless the Lord for all eternity. Bless the Lord. If He had forgiven just one, that would be enough to bless Him forever for. But He has forgiven your entire sin. Nature was cast at that cross. You don't belong to sin because He cast it away. Bless the Lord of my soul, because you have taken my iniquities from me and you have forgiven me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now if you think of it, one sin of yours is just enough. But just to think that He forgave all of your sins. All of your sins. Now, all of His people that are in this building, He forgave all of those. All the people that are His that are alive today, He forgave all of those. And I don't know how many people have lived in this world, but it's billions upon billions. How many sins are on the blood and the cross of Jesus Christ? Bless the Lord, O my soul, for You have forgiven all my iniquities. The countless multitude of my iniquities. But more than those, it was my very nature of sin itself, by which I could never, ever approach Your throne, just by my very nature of sin. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is worthy of worship and praise to a mighty and holy God. You know why this one is mentioned first? Because when He takes our sin away, which is the best thing He could do for you, it puts you back in fellowship with Him. Now you are restored to communion with God. You are restored to His favor. His favor. That means He loves you. He approves of you. Not because of you, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why He mentions this one first. You forgave all of my sin. And that has put me in a right relationship with You, Lord. You see me in love. As a loving father sees his child, that's the way he now sees you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, because You have brought me back into fellowship with You. You have restored me to Your favor. Bless Your holy name. And when He restores you back to His favor, He has bestowed on you all the good that you could ever hope to receive. You may have hardship in this life. You may have pain in this life. You may experience tragedy in your life. But He has restored you to His favor. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Because I now stand in favor of God. Hallelujah! Oh, the multitude of sins that we had. And yet He's still pardoning us daily. That pardon, that forgiveness is today. Day. Your sins from this week, He is forgiving them. Your struggles you're going to have when you walk out of this sanctuary this afternoon, He has forgiven them. Today, for you, that is a personal God, that He loves you so much that He is still pardoning your very sins, each and every one, on a person to God level right now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Sometimes that's all you can say. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You know, there is mercy at the throne of God. Hallelujah, there's mercy at His throne. When you have sinned, you go to His throne and you find mercy. On a personal level, bless the Lord who hath forgiven all my iniquities. Bless His holy name. Then it says right after that, who has healed all thy diseases. This is one of the reasons that this is not really a physical psalm. This is a spiritual psalm. You know, David had some diseases in his old age of his past sins. What is the disease that David is speaking of here in this psalm? It's the corruption of his nature. It's the sickness of his soul. God has cured the greatest disease that David could ever face. The very corruption of a diseased and sinful, godless soul. And David has been cured. You know, we're going to have pain in our bodies. We're going to die. I have to have more back surgeries. I'm falling apart. But God has cured my disease. Because He took my sin-stained soul, whose only destiny was spiritual death, and He has made me whole. Hallelujah! Bless the Lord of my soul, who hath cured my diseased soul. This diseased soul is cured in the cleansing sanctification that we spoke of last night. Through the sanctification, we are made whole. Do I still have some spots? Yeah. And when He cleans me, it's a little hard and it hurts. But thank God that He's still cleaning my soul. He's still curing me on a daily basis. He's still washing me clean through His sanctification. Oh, but when sin is mortified, when you have reached that glorification, you are always, forever clean, never to need to be washed again, because you will be forever with Him. With a cured soul, where no disease, no stains, no taintment of your soul will ever come upon you again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for He has cured my disease. He has cleansed me from my sin. Now this forgiveness, in verse 3, forgives all the iniquities, and then the healing, cleansing power of God, these two go together. If He forgives you, you know that He will not leave you unclean. God will not forgive you and then leave you alone in your sin. Hallelujah, because I would stay in it, daily loving it. But God, when He forgives you, He cleans you. When He forgives you, He heals you. Those two go together because He will not leave you, His people, unclean. If God takes away the guilt of sin by pardoning mercy, He will break the power of it by His renewing grace when you go back to His cross. When you crawl back again, filthy once again and dirty once again, His pardoning grace will once again clean you. And He will take that burden from you. That is worthy of praise. And that's what David is saying. Bless the Lord, everything that is in me, bless You, because Lord, You have forgiven me, King David. And Lord, You have made me, King David, who is an old man in disease, You have made me clean before You, God. Where Christ has made righteousness to any soul, when He has made righteous to you, He has also made your sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 tells us that, if you want to write that one down. But when He is your righteousness, He is your sanctification. He will clean you. And this healing sanctification, as we said last night, it is ongoing. It's a continual process. As we said in Romans chapter 8, we are being conformed to the image of His Son. That is still now today. You, right now today, are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! We're not there yet, but one day, as He says in the end of verse 30 of Romans chapter 8, we are as good as glorified right now, because it will happen in His great plan. And He is right now conforming you. Sometimes the conforming hurts. But oh, when you see what it is doing for you, It is praiseworthy. That is something to bless the name of the Lord over, for His continual cleansing and His ongoing sanctification of us. He heals us with His words, by the means of His gospel, by the hearing of the preached word. He cleans you. The preaching of peace, pardon, forgiveness, that is glorious news. That is praiseworthy news. It's by the blood of His righteous Son, as we hear in Isaiah chapter 53, that with each stripe you are made whole. Your filthy, stained, dirty soul was made whole through the stripes on the back of our gracious, glorious Savior. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that your Son would come down to this sick, disgusting, twisted earth to take the stripes upon His holy back when I hated Him and I was His enemy and I despised everything that Jesus was. And with that stripe, He made me whole. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Because He, with His stripes, has made me whole. It's by the application of this pardoning grace and mercy for the healing of diseases and forgiving of iniquities. These are the one and the same in Isaiah chapter 33. His mercy, His grace, His healing, His forgiveness, they are all one and the same. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How can your whole man not praise God when you hear the good news of what He has done for you? And He did this freely, without you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, because if He was waiting for me to make me whole, it never would have happened. I would still be diseased in my soul. But He did this freely and fully and completely. And for that, thanks are due to Him. Bless the Lord for forgiving my iniquities, for healing my disease. How ungrateful should we be if we were not to thank God for that? It reminds me of the example in Luke chapter 17. Where the 10 lepers come to Jesus and He heals them and they go running away. But one remembers to come back to the Savior and say, "Thank You for making me whole. Be the one. Be that one who has been made clean. Go back to your Savior and say, 'Bless your holy name. Praise You, Lord, for You have made me clean. Praise You, Lord, for You have forgiven all of my iniquities. Praise You, Lord, for You have made me whole again.' Be that one. Go praise the Lord because He is worthy of that praise. Because He has redeemed you from destruction. When He cleanses your soul in verse 3, when He forgives your iniquities, who heals your diseases, verse 4 says, when He has done that, He has redeemed your life from destruction. It's not destruction of the body. David knows that. His natural life will end. Our natural life we're in, our diseases and our pains stay. It's not the curing of his frail body that he's talking about, the redeeming of his life, physical life from death. It's the redeeming of his spiritual life from where it was destined. From that diseased, riddled, dangerous place that he was going. Eternal separation from God. And David is saying, because You have forgiven my iniquities, because You have made me whole and cleansed me of my diseases, You have redeemed my whole life from destruction. From the eternal destruction of your body and soul in hell. Because that's where we were destined. That's what we had deserved. That's what we had earned through our lives, through our deeds. I Titus deserved body and soul hell. But bless the Lord, O my soul. He has forgiven, He has cleansed, and He has redeemed my life. Redeemed means He has bought you back from something. He has taken you from destruction. You weren't sitting in between heaven and hell. You were already destined, promised to hell by your actions, by your deeds, by your very nature. He redeemed me from that. He has taken me from my path of destruction. He has taken me from it. Some translations say He has redeemed me from the pit. The pit where there is no escape. You cannot climb out of that pit. It is a well too deep. But praise God, He has saved you from it. He has brought you back because you belonged there. It's where you should have been because sin owned you. But it does not own you now because He has healed you, He has forgiven you, and He has bought you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He has taken you from it to be His own. And the blood of Christ was our redeeming price. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Christ, our Redeemer, was appointed and sent, but He was mighty and equal to the work. Only Jesus Christ was mighty enough to save, and only Jesus Christ is equal enough to holy to save, because He is all that is holy. Only He could redeem me from a pit. And we are secured from that pit. Never, never to be destined to it again. Because with His redemption, with that redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, He has brought you into His home. And you are in His hand. And you were given to Jesus by the Father. And Jesus says, all that the Father has given me, I will lose none of them. When I have redeemed them from the pit with my blood, I own them and I hold them in my hand. And they will never, ever fall away. Bless the Lord, O my soul, because I am resting secure in the hand of Jesus Christ. He has redeemed me from all of my destruction. He redeemed me from rotting away. You know that dead corpse we talked about last night? That was you. You were the dead man. You were the rotting corpse. Your putrid, stinking, rotting flesh. That was you. But He has made you whole again. He has made you clean. He has made you a new creature in Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I am not a dead, rotting corpse. I am a live, vibrant, spiritual creature through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 4 that after He has redeemed us from this, taken us from the pit, He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That is beautiful. You know, David's not talking about his earthly crown here. David loved his crown at one point. It was very precious to him, as it is to most of us with our prestige, our power, our influence. David at one time loved all that. But David in his last days, his crown brings him no joy. His crown is not what he longs for the most. David's crown of joy, his crown of joy, is the loving kindness and mercy of God. You know what David said in Psalm 63 when he's in the wilderness running from Absalom? He'd lost his crown. He'd lost his kingdom. He lost his household. He lost his reputation. He was at the bottom of where he could be. But David's one desire was not to have his crown restored to him. It was to see God lifted up in the temple. David had learned that God was the most precious thing to him. What's the opposite of the destruction of our body and soul? It's all the spiritual blessings which are given to us, that are blessed to us in Christ, which He gives us freely. And we are kept with mercy forever with Him. Your loving kindness and your tender mercies. There is no greater gift we could wish for on an individual basis than for God to be merciful and loving to me, who is not deserving of the least of His mercies. And yet, He loves me. And He crowns you with glory of His loving kindness and His mercies as a crown, as a place of honor. What an honor to wear the crown of His righteousness through His love and mercy upon our brow. That's why crowning with these depictions is, it's the ultimate beauty, because there's nothing more beautiful. No fleshly crown could ever match the mercy and the tender love that God has placed as a crown upon your head. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name for His tender mercies and His loving kindness. Crowned with God's love and God's mercy. And then in verse 5, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like eagles? This is another reason we know this is a spiritual psalm. David was old. He was going to die and he knew that. He wasn't thinking he was going to spring up with young legs and go out and fight battles again. But you know what? His soul had gotten tired, as ours do. And this mouth is not the food. I'm thankful for food. I love food. I'm looking forward to lunch in a minute. The barbecue was great. No matter what Sister Meredith thinks, it was wonderful. I love the barbecue. Food's great. But that's not His blessings. What He's talking about here is when you satisfy my mouth with good things, He's saying, Lord, You are satisfying my whole man. Because you know what Daniel says? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Taste and see. This is our whole soul. The fullness of grace with Him, the pardoning of righteousness, the salvation by Him. These are the good things that He satisfies the mouth of our soul with. And it's only the favor and grace of God that can give you that satisfaction. Nothing can satisfy you like God. Charles Spurgeon says, you might as well might the sea have thought to be full, or the billows to be still, as the heart of man to be thought to be satisfied. Oh, it's a spiritual blessing, a divine grace that comes from the great satisfying God, the God who is Himself all-sufficient, the only one who can be sufficient to fill the human heart. Only God can satisfy your mouth with these good things. Only God can do so. That's why in Psalm 63 again, David says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands into thy name. David was thirsty. David was hungry. David was tired of running. And he's still saying, your love is better than life itself to me, Lord, because only You can satisfy a hungry soul. Satisfaction in Christ renews our soul. That's what David is saying. He knew this. But he knew that his soul was renewed to God. He knew that his soul had been saved from the decay of sin. His soul was saved from that corruption, and he knew it, and it satisfied him. Because God was enough. God was all that he needed. God saves you from that. And David here is reminding himself of it. You know, David is not just repeating himself for repetition's sake. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Because every one of His blessings are worthy of His praise. We have to renew our spiritual walk in Him. We need a renewal of our spiritual love and affection for Him. We need a holy zeal for God. And you know how you get that? When David sinned the sin with Bathsheba, And there was consequences and there was death. And David always lived with the consequences of that sin. But he cried out to God that God would spare a life. God did not. David wept in a puddle. But then David got up from his tears and he says something here. He says, "Restore to me the joys of my salvation. Restore it to me, Lord. I want what I once had. Lord, I want to feel like I first did when You showed me who You were. When I saw my sin for the first time and I saw that I needed a Savior and I ran to You. Restore that back to me. That's what I want, Lord. Restore me that zeal and that joy of Thy salvation. Give it back to me now, God. I want it." Cry out to God. Focus on those blessings of God. You know, a rejoicing heart soon produces a praising tongue. A rejoicing heart will soon produce a praising tongue. Because out of the depths of the mouth, the heart speaks. Brothers and sisters, if you're not blessing God in your heart, then you're not blessing Him with your mouth no matter what words come out. Bless the Lord with your whole man. And when you do, you cannot help but praise His name. It will come bubbling forth out of your mouth with words of praise because He is worthy of all of our praise. If you can't praise God, it's probably because you're focused not on Him, but yourself. But when you turn your eyes to see Jesus for who Jesus is, you cry out to Him to restore that joy of your salvation back to you. When you focus on your blessings that He has given you, and you see that He is a good, good Father. He gives you that heart and He will give you that attitude of praise when you turn back to Him. Brothers and sisters, when your mouth must be silent, let your heart worship. Praise and bless the Lord. Let's pray.